A lot of versions, Joel, of a bad relationship or a bad ending to a relationship. And I think a lot of times, you know, you got that Morgan Wallen song, I Got Better. It's about, you know, things improved when you left. Sometimes, Joel, sometimes when a relationship ends, you kind of have a feeling at the time like, okay, we were going this way, but was this actually for the best? I'm talking about Sam Darnold and the Seattle Seahawks, the quarterback who you guys had on the roster last year in Minnesota.
To use the phrase that you just said to me a moment ago when I was whining about the cold is, Joel, just suck it up. After that game yesterday, I had as close to a feeling as I've ever had that you get after your team just gets knocked out of the playoffs, or when the Vikings lost the NFC Championship game and all the moments. It wasn't quite that feeling, but it was just a little bit of the feeling. I walked by my wife and I said, how do you think the Viking front office feels right now?
Oh, man.
And she looked at me and she just says, I have no idea what you're talking about. I said, you don't need to. I just need to say it out loud.
Vikings general manager Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, you know he's thinking, all right, how do I let this not define my career? Sam was slinging it yesterday.
That's the real deal.
And he has been all season. He has been absolutely all season. So there's something about that I've got to run by you. This is the third time that the Seahawks have made the Super Bowl in the 21st century. They did it in 2005. They did it in 2013, and they did it this year. You know what those 3 years also have in common?
5, 13. Let's see, one of them would have been Russell Wilson. One of them, I have no idea.
If I said the names Benedict the 16th, Francis, and Leo, would you understand? Every year there's a new pope, the Seahawks make the Super Bowl.
Ah, I see that.
I don't know why. Every pope, I mean, he's a Bears fan. Leo's a Bears fan through and through. But he gave the Seahawks a boost that they get every new pope.
I guess so.
Something's aligned in that weird way. Good morning, by the way, Joel.
Yeah, I need to just suck it up as a Viking fan. And it was fun. It was fun because Sam Darnold's a good guy. And
he is.
It was nice. I found joy in him getting the joy of that victory. Yesterday, I kind of wanted Matthew Stafford to get back in there again, but I was all right with that. The Patriots, please just stop with the Super Bowls, all right?
Yeah.
Just come on.
Yep.
The quarterback for Denver yesterday was everything we thought it would be, except for the first couple plays. He threw a bomb and got a touchdown, and then that was about it. That was about it for the game, and it was a tough game weather-wise, obviously, late in that game. Anybody who had an under on anything to do with passing late in that game was just thrilled.
Yes.
Thrilled at the weather, what the weather was. But they were both good games. I thought Stafford was going to do it at the end. I thought, this is his game. I mean, this is his life right here. This is Matthew Stafford and how he plays football. But it just it wasn't quite meant to be for him.
No, that was a quintessential championship game. Two teams in their best form. But the mistakes, like the muffed punt that almost turned it, or the taunting penalty. You know, there were a couple moments that's just like, you cannot do that in the championship game.
Without that muffed punt, the Rams are probably in the Super Bowl right now. A pretty good chance.
Blows my mind. Well, it might be another 40 years before Minnesota gets there. It might be next year. You truly don't know. I mean, one of the coolest redemption arcs I've ever seen, Sam Darnold, taken in the same draft as Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
It's pretty good.
And he's the first one to make the Super Bowl out of those four.
Wow.
And the cool thing is, you might remember early in his career, he was caught on mic saying something once that really kind of doomed him for a little while, and it was that he was seeing ghosts. And that's something that people talk about quarterbacks doing. You react to like a pass rush that isn't happening, and you end up ruining a play because you're scared of something that never even happened in the first place. And Sam carried that with him for a few years, but obviously he's been on the rise these last few years. And this morning, Toby loves Sam Darnold.
Toby is a big fan of Sam Darnold.
This morning, he loves underdogs. You can see it. This morning, they were playing Ghostbusters. They were calling him the Ghostbuster quarterback. I thought, that's so cool. When they spend years making fun of you for seeing ghosts, and now you're the Ghostbuster?
Yeah, but the only difference is the ghost that Sam Darnold was seeing was a 320-pound lineman. I mean, ghosts don't do that to you. I tell you what, if I got popped by one of those linemen a couple of times, I'd be seeing more than ghosts.
Tom Brady had me laughing yesterday. There was a play where somebody came through and blocked, and he said, I prefer the plays where they block the defensive lineman. Yeah, I bet I would too. I probably would too. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, speaking of Toby, we had a fun time with Toby this weekend, but we developed a routine. We tried a few different things.
The cold weather provides challenges for all, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. We finally settled on the airdrop method. I actually carried him out to the spot where he usually does his business, and he understood. He got it. He's like, yeah, we better be quick and efficient here. It was tough a couple times, and then finally it was, yeah, set him down. He realizes he's been plopped in the spot. Does the thing, zoom, back to the door. Not even trying anything. Like, last week, he was still trying to play and stuff. He'd sit there with his paw up in the air, but you can still throw it.
No trying to figure out what the equilibrium of the earth is by spinning left, spinning right, spinning left, spinning right.
That's what he does at the door before we let him outside. Yeah. He's just like, okay, I'm not sure you're about to let me out. If I spin, will you do it? And
I'm lucky our little Billy Pug, he sits at the door, we let him out, and he goes down that little handicap ramp that we have for the steps so fast, and he goes, and there's no goofing around. He's just like a doot, 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 and he's running back in, and he says, I need two treats. Look at how fast I did that. Two treats today, please.
Like he's got a rationed coupon. He's like, I got mine for today.
Yeah.
I put my work in.
that is a challenge. I know there's a lot of people going through some difficult stuff from the cold this weekend, whether it might be your car or the house or whatever it may be. So hang in there. Hang in.
Absolutely.
What do we have? 23 below I had this morning when I woke up, but it was 35 to 40 below in most areas Saturday morning and Sunday morning. Like a friend of mine said when I was at the food pantry on Saturday, he said, Joel, once it hits negative 20, it doesn't matter anymore. I said, that's true. I said, negative 20, negative 50, it's all just, whatever. If it's going to happen at negative 50, it's probably going to happen at negative 20.
Right, and especially if it's windy at those two temps, I might still cling to the idea that if it's still, you know, I mean, like I went to Super 1 on Friday and it was 17 below with a little bit of wind. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, that's awful because I got out of the car and I'm decked out in windproof gear and everything, but I don't have like snow pants on, of course, because I'm coming from work and I'm kind of struggling. I was thinking about it on the walk between the car and Super 1, like 15 below is rough when it's windy. And then some guy pokes his head out of Super 1. You know who you are. Pokes his head out and he looks left and right and he waits until the wind stops, walks out of Super 1 in a hoodie. And like, I think it might have been Bahama shorts and flip-flops is kind of the vibe I got. Slow walked out to a car that was not running, and I thought, okay, some people just have different abilities than others, and I don't have what he's got.
Yeah, with this cold weather, like they say in the summertime, it's not so much the lack of humidity, it's that it's that gosh darn dehydration. You gotta watch out. If you're feeling groggy this morning, drink some water, because we don't realize it, because you typically don't perspire in this type of weather. But the really dry weather, it just sucks moisture out of your body, and it's important to hydrate and drink water when it's this dry out there.
I like to wear Columbia fleece mid-layers. And so I am a one-man static electricity generator in this environment. I mean, like, I Toby snuck up on me, and, like, my cat stepped on my hand at one point. And, like, these various things happen, and they discharge the static that I've built up just by existing.
I think it was Friday night. I hugged my wife before she went to bed before me. I hugged my wife, and she goes, ouch, are you trying to start me on fire? Just like, it just touched, and there was...
Yeah, no, I mean, I was starting to get frustrated. I think it was Saturday. Like, three of them happened to me in quick succession, and part of it was, like, I was sitting on the floor playing with Toby, wearing a Columbia fleece, so that's two strikes. And then the cat was on my left hip, kind of rubbing up against me like a cat does. Mm-hmm. And like, if you know how a Van de Graaff generator works, that thing that your science teacher brought out and zapped you with, like that throws sparks off in every direction, it's just a rubber belt running against a brush. So like, you get the hair. Like, that cat was... The cat alone was enough to kill me, and I've got the fleece, I've got the sitting on the floor and the plate, and I think I'm pretty sure if I had touched a light bulb, I could have just popped it like a flash from 1955.
One thing that is for certain with cold weather like this is if you have two things, you're probably going to get through it, and that is a hot drink, whether it's coffee, hot chocolate, and something that's got pastry in it, donut.
Yes.
If you got a good cinnamon roll and a hot cup of something, it makes the day a little better in this cold weather, just a little better.
See, I only eat sweets when the sun's shining or when the wind's blowing, so it's pretty easy for me to find a reason. But yeah, cold's plenty good. Cold's great reason. Need a little butter in you.
So what about that new defensive coordinator you got there for the Packers, Derry? What do you think of that hire, eh?
I don't know. Initial fan reaction is a little bit mixed, but it always will be, so let's not go by that. The one thing that concerns me is Jonathan Gannon is the only coach I've ever seen fined by their team. Not by the league, by their team, at least for this reason. I'm sure coach fines by their teams happen occasionally, but last season, Jonathan Gannon was fined $100,000 by his own Arizona Cardinals. And I don't know what they phrased it, but basically, he and a player were in a disagreement on the sideline during a game this past season. And Gannon got up in that player's face, and it was a really weird moment because nobody hit anybody, but Jonathan moved in such a way that it almost looked like somebody did. Like, he was very clearly demonstrating strong emotion in this player's face, and when he walked away from the player, he kind of pulled himself away so fast that it looked like somebody might have swung at somebody. Mm-hmm. And it was this really weird moment, and for the first day, the dialogue was, did somebody just swing on somebody? And no, nobody did. But still, the team decided that that was an improper thing. But that said, people make mistakes. If we define Jonathan Gannon by the worst moment of his life, that probably wasn't even it. I don't know the guy. That said, his defenses haven't been performing great over the last few years as a head coach. They performed great when he was a coordinator, most recently with the Eagles during a Super Bowl season.
Yeah, there's just some people who are just better at being coordinators because it's a completely different job.
Brian Flores.
Yeah, when you're coordinating offense, defense, special teams, I mean that's just what you're doing. It's what you're doing. It's
your whole job.
Let's say let's take it to a grocery store analogy, huh? Okay, you're the manager of the produce department, and you're great at it. Oh, there's mist everywhere. There's the lettuce is green. The oranges are orange. It is the best-looking produce department ever. And then you get a promotion, a little more money per year, and now you're managing the store. Well, now that you're managing the store, I still love my produce department, but I got to keep an eye on the bakery department.
And you goofed up on the deli order.
And all of a sudden, the misters aren't on as much as they used to be.
Yep.
And the lettuce got a little mold in the corner of that one because you didn't. I mean, I think that's kind of what it is. Some people are just better at being overall managers, and that's their gift from God. And others are just like, give me that one thing. Give me that one thing, and I'll do it better than anybody else.
And it doesn't mean that it was the wrong call to try him as a head coach. He's still showing the things that might turn into good head coaching. But much like prospects with players, it's tough to tell who a person's going to be when you put them in the spotlight on the NFL field in the heat of the game. And yeah, just like you said, a really, really good coordinator who might become a really good coordinator. Actually, there's quite a few of them right now. I believe Vic Fangio, a defensive coordinator currently for the Eagles, actually, mm-hmm. who replaced Jonathan Gannon. I think they tried him as a head coach. Vance Joseph, another excellent defensive coordinator, tried as a head coach, didn't go fantastically, but they settled back. Brian Flores, I was cough joking about, he was terrible as the head coach for the Dolphins, though they had some success. He was not popular with players. You want him to scheme up a mean blitz, though. Look at Minnesota's defensive success over the last 5 or 6 years. That's B. Flo.
And he's in a good spot. And I think the Vikings are notoriously a great organization to work and play for. They treat their players, treat everybody well. So I think with that combined with the fact that he sees what we're talking about, it's just like, I'll take my 5 or 6 million or whatever you're going to give me, and I'll be good.
Yeah. I mean, you could gamble on the head coaching position, which could end up tanking your whole career, or cash in on what you're good at. And sure, go for it. Try it. But there is a smart way to do it. There was a lady in Central America recently just won a lottery, and she picked the option that pays her $1,000 a month for the rest of her life instead of $1 million. Mm-hmm. And people were doing the math. Like, this lady looks like she's in her 50s or 60s, and they're like, there's no way she's going to make $1 million. And true, she's probably going to be pretty close, but she's set for life. She's got a set income. Right. No matter how long she lives, she's making enough.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
$1 million dropped in your pocket, you could burn in a year. Mm-hmm. You can't burn it in a year if it's not there. So there's smart ways to parlay success. And I just worry that Brian Flores is going to end up leveling another lawsuit if he doesn't end up with a head coaching position.
So yesterday when Sean Payton decided not to kick the field goal on that first drive, for Denver, and just decided to go for it.
Oh.
As soon as he didn't get it, I walked away and I said to myself, attaboy, Sean Payton. See, he's probably a fine guy and whatever, but he did the bounty gate when they beat my Vikings in that Saints game in the NFC Championship with Brett Favre, that whole thing. So I can't get over it, all right? I can't get over
you
that.
You said it out loud, at least. I cannot
get over it. So I'm just like, hey, Sean Payton, I hope that decision to not kick that field goal in a game where you don't have a quarterback and it's probably going to snow by halftime and points will be at just crucial every single point. Attaboy, don't kick that 35-yard field goal. Go for it, and you didn't get it. Guess what you lost by? Huh? Guess what you lost by, Sean Payton? He's not a Hall of Famer. Get him out of the Hall of Fame, please.
Oh, man. And it's so easy in the moment. Like, you gamble on that moment because that's showing confidence in the backup quarterback. But, man, hindsight is screaming at you like, that was a backup QB. You kick that field goal. You kick it. Like, that is the...
And it was a fourth and, like, one, I think, wasn't it? And he had him pass.
Yeah. No.
I don't... Yeah. And the snow wasn't falling at that time. The conditions were good. I can understand because everybody was slipping and falling that game late in the game. But, yeah. Yeah.
I got to be careful because I wasn't watching the game close at that point, and I wasn't sitting there screaming, go for it.
I was just shocked he didn't kick the field goal. I'm just like, come on, you got a great defense. Every point's going to matter.
Yeah. I wonder what I would have said in the moment. You know, I might have said go for it if I was there, because I like the Dan Campbell mentality. I like the killer instinct. I like it because Matt LaFleur doesn't have it.
I said it out loud, and Tony Romo said it 17 times during the game. Did he reference, what about that field goal they didn't kick?
Oh, man. Yeah, that was me this whole Packers season. Like, what about that field goal McManus missed? Six losses that had field goals in them
big
that could have accounted for
big,
the points.
Give us three number one picks, and Malik Willis will give you a big leg bill.
I'd give you a number one pick, but we gave it to the Cowboys. Sorry, we are fresh out. We will not give you Micah. All right, we'll be back after a quick word from sponsors. We got Joel here for the Gray Area on Monday morning. It's 8:32 a.m., and after this word and some weather, we've got a lot of fun to have. There may be some birthdays. There may be some snowball throwdown showdown. Keep it on 98Q.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The snow and ice has pretty much stopped from the storm that ran from New Mexico up through New England. But now, ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z says the danger is the cold.
By tomorrow morning, it'll swing to the east a little. A place like Orlando just had record high yesterday of 87. By tomorrow morning, sub-freezing wind chills. 9 below Roanoke tomorrow morning. Pittsburgh will feel like 18 below zero as you start your Tuesday.
Sorry if you turned up the stereo, folks.
The beginning of that, I thought it was in honor of Sam Darnold, the gunslinger. I had a Western Clint Eastwood feel to that, like, woo, woo, woo.
The good and the bad, the ugly song, yeah. Not quite. This is Peter Gabriel.
Yeah. Well, before we continue today, Gray, I'm going to have to... I'm going to have you verify who you are. I sent you a 9-digit code. If you could return that 9-digit code to me, I'm just trying to verify that you are who you are. And if you could look at the screen here, I've got 9 letters that are scribbled in cursive all together. If you could tell me what those are and write them down on a sheet of paper, and then tell me your first grade teacher's favorite movie as a security question. And then I'll let you be a part of the show, all right?
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, I didn't agree to this when you handed this baby to me. This was almost coming up on a month ago now, Joel, and you waited for the CAPTCHA all the way 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago.
As much as I appreciate all the security stuff to make sure I am who I am while I'm on my computer, stop it! Just stop it, please! Every day, really! Really?
Well, you got to remember too that I'm stealing all your stuff. Like I'm as far as everything goes, like you were the only guy to do any of this, to log into this thing or that thing or use that password, and you just in one day you handed me a spreadsheet with all of your info. And I think LifeLock is probably like, "What is going on in Park Falls?"
Yes. Is Joel still alive?
Yeah, not an identity theft. He's just as thin but a little bit shorter.
All right. So, you want to bring up the gray area? I think I got a couple of random topics on there that we'll delve into today, since people are tired of talking football. You know, Seattle, New England's kind of a yawner, I think, for fans in the Midwest. It's kind of a yawner. It's just like, whatever, we're happy for you, but it's a yawner. It's a yawner for us. There's really no link or interest for us. So we have a shared spreadsheet, Gray and I, that we just kind of randomly put topics on. So let's have Gray pick one off there that I may or may not remember what it is.
Sure. That's football.
Well, you can do football.
No, that's okay. Grocery store checkout line, and then a couple squares over, you put what's in my cart.
Yeah, you ever feel a little bit embarrassed when you're checking out at the grocery store line? Because let's say you're shopping for a party. Let's say you're grocery shopping not in a normal way. You're doing it for maybe a party or a get-together, and your grocery cart has stuff in it that is, you know, maybe 3 Totino's pizzas, a couple of bags of Doritos, a 12-pack of Pepsi, maybe a bottle of bourbon. When you look down on your cart at the checkout line, you're like, oh, boy. Someone's going to think I got some problems here.
That's the thing. You don't even think about it until you get to the checkout line, and that, like,
I know,
your scavenger hunt brain shuts off, and it's the, oh gosh, now I've got to be social brain kicks on. It's like, I need to present this to another human. That was actually me on Friday. I went and I got some frozen pizzas. I got some fizzy water because we don't drink anything but, like, you know, LaCroix and that stuff. We're those people. And we were also trying to figure out some creative solutions for Toby hadn't gone number two yet. I know I've been talking about that a lot this morning, but it's relevant to my life. And if you've got a dog, you know what I'm talking about in this crazy cold. We were starting to try to figure out, like, hey, we're going to have to get the booties on him. He lost a toenail kind of recently. So that was going to be, like, we were just thinking about it. And so I had pizza, fizzy water, and extra large puppy training pads.
There you go.
And I thought, that's...
Looks like you're starting a meth lab or something.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
There are like 3 ideas that come, and they're all really, really weird. They're all really weird.
And let me tell you this. If you look down at your cart and you think it's strange, don't try to explain it to the checkout cat. Just roll with it.
Nope.
And for guys who have been married a long time, you know, at some point your wife sends you to the grocery store to get stuff that it just... Don't even talk about it. Just put it down, roll through, pay, and just keep going.
Yep. And as men, I think we have to be cognizant about that. It's not required of us. There's no social contract. But hey, if you manage to pull off not being weird in those kind of situations, it's a valuable thing. You know, don't look around. Yeah, you're a guy in the sanitary aisle. You're going to be joined by a woman who you hoped wasn't going to pop up. That's the awkward part. Embrace it and get out fast.
With a bag of jelly beans and Diet Pepper. Diet Dr. Pepper, yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm thinking a pint of ice cream really rounds it all off there.
Rounds it all off, too.
See, any time I've ever had to buy any sort of tape or rope, it's like, I'm not buying anything else. I'm not pairing anything with this. There will be no, I mean, and God forbid I need gloves. You know, like, we're not buying gloves and rope at the same time. Like,
you don't want to, later in life, you don't want to hear, Judge, I want to present to you a receipt.
and I'll tell you what, I'm going to make myself look as innocent as possible if I got to. I'm going to both pay with a credit card and stare that camera right in the face. Like, yes, this is Gray Gunderson. No, it's not for any bad reason. Yeah, there's fibers from this in my car. Like, yeah, no, it's just, I can hear the Netflix documentary script.
All right, random topic number 2 off the gray area, delving into the mind of Joel Koenig.
A simple phrase, it's been on here for a couple weeks, and I hear a person's voice when I read this, and I don't know if that's what you're going for, but it's now, this is a guy.
This is a guy. This is the Chris Collinsworth line.
It is Collinsworth. I was thinking it's Collinsworth.
And I didn't think of it until somebody pointed it out. But it is a great, but you can use it as much as you want, because it just, there's something about it when somebody is doing the play-by-play, or you're talking to somebody at a family reunion and just like, what about, I tell you what, this is a guy.
Yeah.
It sounds like a John Madden thing too. This is a guy who usually the stuff that follows that is something you want to hear.
Well, see, and it's funny you mentioned Madden because he was actually who came to mind at first. But then I realized this is a Collinsworth quote, and you really pounded that home. The other one that I think, and it's almost identical, the one that Collinsworth will rotate between is this is a guy and here's a guy. Same thing. Same exact thing, but it's the same message. You can start any sentence. It's football. There's going to be a guy relevant to the play. And if you want an excuse to bring up their past, there it is. Yeah. There it is. Now this is a guy.
And everybody has those, whether you're in radio or whatever, everybody kind of has that phrase, that crutch you lean on. And you may realize it and you may not. But let me tell you this. If you want to realize what crutch you're leaning on, or if you want to have an analyzation of a speech process, if you have a job where you're able to have a remote meeting, okay, and you do it from home, and have your spouse listen in the background, because there will be a comment after the meeting is over, I guarantee you. I had one the other day, and when the meeting was over, my wife said to me, she said, four different times you said we're working behind the scenes. And now in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, these people think I'm idiots. I'm working behind the scenes four different times, apparently. What is this, a bad episode of Sesame Street? What's going on here?
We were at a family gathering one time, and one of my family members said to another one, I know exactly who they were, and I could name names here, but some of them are kind of close to home here. One of them said to the other one, he said, the last three sentences have all started with, and that's the thing. He said, I noticed that about you. You say that a lot. He said, in all three of the last sentences in a row. And I remember one time texting early on when I wasn't being very attentive to the person I was texting to. I basically, it was actually my girlfriend at the time, and what I texted was, okay, dear. And finally she called me out. She said, you sent the same text message three times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was a conversation happening, and I was just watching it. You know, I was an observer, not a participant.
That is the benefit of having a spouse, because once you're in a relationship for a while, because once you're in that for a while, you reach a comfort level where saying stuff like that is no longer an insult. It's almost like, well, thank you. I want to not thank you, but I want to thank you for pointing that out, and I'll think about that for the next 2 weeks, but I know it'll do me good down the line. So thank you. Go away now.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Realizing what you actually mean when you say a thing. It's like, shoot, you know what? I just heard what that might sound like to you. And doesn't that matter more in the end?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, we can eliminate this is a guy. And somehow I aimed away from football and we landed there. But hey, we're a month away from the first games of spring training.
Yeah, and we're only a couple weeks away from the Winter Olympics. I love the Winter Olympics more than I like the summer, just because there's things going on in the Winter Olympics that I can't do, and you could die doing it. There's a lot of jumping. There's a lot of moving really, really fast with blades on your feet. I mean, there's a lot of room for stuff like, no. I would never even try that in my younger days. Summer, I'm just like, I can run. I can throw a javelin. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. Not very well, but I can do that. The pole vault, maybe. That's rough. But winter, almost everything. I mean, we're snowboarding, and we're flying and doing triple somersaults, and I'm just like, woo.
So
that's nice.
Not the skiing or the snowboarding, but hey, there's definitely a couple events there in the Winter Olympics that there could be some local experts to consult. You know, the curling thing, that's bags adjacent right there. That's a similar skill. You could cross train between the bags and the stone. I don't know about the sweepy thing. Yeah. That's the wife would love that if you kind of got some skill down there. But
you sweep the kitchen while you're at it there, huh?
There's a couple other ones I saw with the rifle. They do some skiing downhill silliness beforehand.
Right.
I don't know about that, but putting rounds downrange, I'll do all day for you and score you big points too.
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's not too often you get an Olympic event where a beverage in one hand and you can still pull it off in the other hand. Curling I know there's more to it than that. I get that. But most people watch curling and are just like, if I could keep my balance on the ice, I could kind of look like I know what I'm doing.
Was he from Turkey? The Summer Olympics a couple years ago, the guy with the pistol who walked up and just closed one eye like he just had done a shot basically and won the gold. Like, it was absolutely silly. And then you've got all the 14-year-olds from foreign lands with all kinds of attachments and braces on their arms and stuff, and he just walks up and basically spits downrange and bang, gets the gold.
Yeah, and you get to see world-class athletes from all around the world, all with different stories, and the ones who come from different countries, some of them have just incredible stories of how they made it there. But one thing is pretty consistent is that a high percentage of these athletes in the Winter and Summer Olympics train and live in the U.S. If you look at the bio of a lot of the people, a lot of the training facilities do come from U.S. and the larger countries. But it's fun to hear the backstories and the bobsledding team, the Jamaican bobsledding team from many years ago.
Yep.
That you know, just stories like that. So I just love the whole process of the Winter Olympics. I love the backstories. And the events just like, oh, okay, I guess we're going to actually do the event now, too, after hearing that nice 5-minute heartwarming story about this person's life.
For me, it's if you could only watch one event, Joel, which would you sit and binge? What could you watch all day?
I'm a big fan of the bobsleds.
Same. That's exactly where I was going.
Because it's like the NFL. I mean, just the fraction of a second that you pushed a little harder at the start or you leaned into a corner at the end. It's
yep.
like 1/100th of a second could be the difference between gold and silver. And that's what intrigues me a little bit there.
And when all you can do is tilt your helmeted head a little bit, you know, it's like, how much control do you actually have? Well, you saw it, was it last week or the week before when that one team, I think it was an American team, ended up going down with just one guy in the sled. Did you see that happen?
Yeah.
His teammates ended up crashing out in the entrance. And if you haven't seen that, there was, again, I think it was an American, ended up going down solo. And of course, the brakes are in the back. So he's sitting there thinking, no. Yeah, you got to go all the way. You know, you steer from the front, but the brakes are in the back. So when you hit that last straight stretch, he had to slide 3 seats back and nail those brakes.
So it's like driving a station wagon all by yourself, and the only way you can stop is if you climb in the back seat.
Yes, exactly, exactly. An old Woody station wagon, and you got to be facing backwards out the back window to hit the brakes. Oh, only little Johnny back there has the power. It was an incredible performance. I don't think the time was good, but I thought, man, that thing, I thought that bobsled was going to become a coffin there for a second. So glad he ended up totally safe and got a heck of a high five from the teammates. You tell that story, you don't hope to relive it, I think.
Yeah, it's just, I think what intrigues people about the Olympics a lot is there's just so many events where just like leaning up or leaning forward is the difference between fastest in the world, you're a loser.
Yes.
or bobsledding is just like 1 second or a half a second. Gold medal, go home, you'll be never heard of again. Just the room for error is so small.
Yep.
And the great from first from the last, it's not that much difference.
For most of us, the closest thing we'll ever come to that is if you walk the wrong way on the ice, you're going to sacrifice your fibula to the gods of winter. But these people, you know, they lean a little bit to the left and it's gold versus silver, just like you said. That's that they can feel the difference and do the right thing in that moment without thinking too hard.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what makes an Olympic athlete.
And it does make, in the times we're going through, to see the world come together, to see human beings come together without government, without power, without money, it's for the most. That's all there too. But to see all the people from around the world in one building and just think, you know what, we're all human beings. It gives you a little hope. It does for me a little bit when I see certain things and I see athletes from different parts of the world conversing and having great moments. I think that's why it's popular too.
Agreed. Sports provides something that we all need, whether we need know it or not. We absolutely need the camaraderie that can come of it. And of all people, it was Pat McAfee last week I saw on ESPN on his show. He was standing on top of an office chair that rotated and had wheels on it, so he was kind of shaky. But he was talking about how important sports are to the world, and he looked like he was maybe on something a little bit, but it was just because you can't stand still when you're standing on an office chair. Pat, what are you doing up there?
Exactly.
All right, it is 8:55, and before we go to commercial,